Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To imagine what a world it would be if every time we had a problem with somebody, we just killed them. That would be the solution to many problems that we have. In fact, we wouldn't even have to deal with that person ever again. They're gone. It's done. No more reproaching because of sin. No more being disappointed with me. You're dead. You can't say anything. It's funny that that's exactly how the chief priests and the Pharisees decided to deal with Jesus. We're not going to argue with him. We'll lose every battle. How many times has it been said already that they could answer him not a word? No one dared to ask him any more questions. We can't go toe-to-toe with him with theology. We can't argue with his words. He is a just man, a righteous man. All of the people have gone out after him. We are gaining nothing. Aha! But if he's not here, they can't go out after him. If he's not here, they can't be instructed by him. So I know what we'll do. We'll kill him. Oh yeah, and that Lazarus guy, he's also very inconvenient to us. He was raised from the dead. Let's kill him. And those disciples, they also are very inconvenient to us. Let's do something to, we'll kill them too. That's their solution. It's their solution to being confronted with their own sins. Rather than recognizing sin and repenting of it, they would rather walk in the darkness, not knowing where they're going, or at least not admitting to where they know they are headed. Jesus said in John chapter 3, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." It's why the scribes and the Pharisees can't stand Jesus, cannot stand Lazarus being risen from the dead, cannot stand the disciples who walk near the light, who are being made sons of light. Because every time they peer into the true light, which is the Word of God in the flesh, they are confronted. And they will not humble themselves. And so it is an inconvenience. It is an inconvenience to have Jesus be alive, to have anybody that has witnessed his miracles be alive, to have anybody that follows his teaching living. Because so long as they are living, so also are the words of Jesus. His words go forth from the mouths of his servants. Wisdom was written about 150 years before Jesus was born. And doesn't it paint just a very accurate picture of the life of Christ? He reproaches us for sins against the law, against the Ten Commandments. Go back, read Matthew 5 through 7 as we've been studying in our classes. You will see that Jesus very clearly says, "You have heard that it was said, but I say to you," nothing new, but that it doesn't just begin with the hands. Not this outward character that you all seemingly have. The problem is in here. Your sins are in here, and I am bringing them to light. Everything before me is brought into the open. Nothing is hidden. And that was very uncomfortable. And then sins against their training? What is it that Jesus said to them? If you loved the Father, if you loved God, you would also love me. If you were really children of Abraham, you would believe in me. Abraham loved to see my day, and he saw it. They had been teaching the people to be self-righteous, to think that they could, in fact, appease God. They stopped looking for the Messiah. And when the Messiah finally did show up, he was an inconvenience, and better dead than alive. Why is it that Caiaphas prophesies that it is expedient that one man should die? It's because of this. They loved their evil deeds. They hated the light. Jesus said, though, that anyone who loves his life in this world will lose it. The one who hates his life will gain eternal life. Elsewhere we have it said that Jesus said, he who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And you hear this repeated by Jesus. Let him deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me. If we are not prepared as Christians to deny ourselves, to turn away from our sins, having confessed them to the Lord, not wishing to enter ever back into them, try as we might by the grace of God, pleading for his help, what have we gained? If we are so turned off by being in the presence of the light of God, why do we even make it a point to come to church? We are here not because it's always comfortable, not because all the words that are preached from the pulpit make us feel good every week. This isn't a class on being helped, not a self-help sermon, not a best life now sermon. It is, where do you find life itself? Where do you find the light? The light that illuminates your path. It is in the Word. The one who possesses God's Word possesses the true light that has come into the world. He becomes a child of the light. That means that we no longer are inconvenienced by Jesus, even if that means that it is for us to suffer, to die with him, in our following along with him. For we bear a cross of our own. Whatever the Lord sends us, we carry it, gladly going to suffer with Christ. We ought not to be like what wisdom painted the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees out to be like. Put God to the test because he opposes our actions? Oh, no, no, no. Oppose my actions, God. Reveal my sins. Break me that I may understand what is truth and walk in the path of righteousness that leads to everlasting life. Let us not test God with insults or torture as they did. Trying to make Christ sin by infuriating things, by challenging him around every corner, by never rejoicing in his miracles, but always finding a reason to hate him. All because the people turned away from you and went after him. No, we ought not to make a trial of his forbearance, testing his patience among us, not at all. We ought to do everything that is the opposite, to love God when he reproaches us, to love God when he reveals our sins, to love him when he gives to us the knowledge of God, when he calls us his children. to love him when he reproves our thoughts, to love him and not consider him a burden to us, but to love his life, for we see our own life hidden in his. We have so much to be thankful for in this week. For though they put Christ to a shameful death, they tested him, Christ did not fall. He did not commit a sin. Even in this, the most gruesome of weeks of Christ's life, he did not falter. He did not misstep. He did not misplace his trust. He kept his trust in the Father. And that Father's voice came from heaven and said, I will glorify my name again. That the glory of the name of God is given to Jesus. And in this crucifixion, what we are looking forward to remembering again this Friday, God again glorifies his name in bringing about our salvation. What they did not see, God has shown to us. What they reasoned would be the very best thing, just to kill the one that they could not stand, God has brought about a glorious purpose, for he has brought about our forgiveness and our salvation. So no matter what men might devise for you, whether it be a troubled life, afflictions from words, or maybe even physically, even if it so be death, we do not need to worry. For we have obtained that life which God has promised in Christ, who is our light and our life and our salvation, in whose name we hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.